Can God be jealous? Right? How can God be jealous? I would like to talk, or I would like to see this talk as an exposition of the jealousy of God. When we find it hard to grasp that God can be jealous because we view our jealousy and God's jealousy from the same frame of mind. That's a problem. Okay? Our jealousy is often sinful. But God's jealousy is holy. So my passage for today's talk is from Exodus 34. It's chapter 34 and 4 to 14. I don't know why I keep coming back to Exodus, but you know, I feel God is leading me into Exodus. So can I request Anand to read that for me, please?
So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones, and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the father to the third and the fourth generation. Moses bowed down to God at once and worshiped. O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, he said, let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I'm making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God.
Can we just bow down in prayer, please? Jesus, we thank you, Lord, because you're jealous. We thank you because your love sets us free. Your love came down. So we just want to thank you, Lord. This morning, even as we hear your word, we just pray, Jesus, that you will come and set us free from our own doubts about you, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this portion is from the Old Testament of the Bible, written by Moses. Okay, Moses was an incredible leader whom God raised to lead Israel out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. So here's some context for those of us, you know, who are not familiar with this passage. God called Moses up a mountain and spent 40 days with him and gave him the Ten Commandments, written in stone. But when Moses came down the mountain after 40 days, he found that the people of Israel built a golden calf made from their own ornaments of gold. And they were worshiping it as a god who brought them out of Egypt. What would be God's response? God's first response to this terrible sin was anger, punishment, and wrath. The passage we just read is the second part of God's revelation to this terrible sin. So I would like to draw three things, as usually, you know, all my talk has been three-pointer. I don't know why even that. So, okay, so three points from this passage about the jealousy of God. First, the jealousy of God flows from the compassion and mercy of God. The jealousy of God flows from the compassion and mercy of God. Let's look at verse 14. God is proclaiming this before Moses. Says the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. Yeah. This sounds scary, right? This is scary. God is saying, my name is jealous. In other words, God is saying jealousy is this defining attribute in the character of God. That is hard to comprehend if we look at verse 14 in isolation. So in this passage, God is revealing himself to a sinful Israel, and his revelation about his jealousy is actually the second part of his revelation. So what is the first part? Let's look at verse 6. And this is again God is proclaiming to Moses. And this is what he says. Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. So God is actually making a two-part revelation about himself in this passage. First, God is saying he is merciful, he is compassionate. And second, he says that he is jealous. The jealous for his relationship with us. So it is based on this back-to-back revelation about himself, I'm concluding that the jealousy of God is actually flowing out of his mercy and compassion of God. God is revealing his jealousy as an expression of his compassion. You know, I have some freaky illustration, but this kind of illustration is actually there in the Bible, okay? Imagine a husband and wife, and where the wife leaves the husband and becomes a prostitute. Okay? Imagine we have two scenarios here. The first scenario is the husband finds his wife in a brothel and he tells her, hey, you know what? I have forgiven you. But give me divorce. Okay? And he gets married to another person and lives happily ever after. Okay? And imagine the second scenario. The husband finds this wife in a brothel and tells her, hey, I have forgiven you. He then takes her back home and he tells her, you know, I am jealous for our relationship. I am jealous for you. And I want to make our relationship work, to make us happy all over again. And I will never leave you, even if you leave me. In which scenario is the husband showing more love? Obviously, the second scenario, right? The second scenario where the jealousy is added to forgiveness is a scenario where there is more love. So in a pure sense, jealousy is just a healthy expression of his fierce love. A wife who is not jealous when her husband flirts with another woman just doesn't love him, right? It's vice versa. It's not just wife, okay? Even the husband. So you see, jealousy will not be aroused in a relationship if one person is indifferent to the other. You see, God will never be indifferent in his relationship with us. Israelites rebelled. They sinned against God by worshiping a calf that they made by their own hands. God was angry with them, yet in his great compassion and love, he forgives them. This is why God is saying, do not worship any other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. We all worship other gods. We may not worship a golden calf, but we do build something that would give us identity. We do worship something that would give us acknowledgement. These are the moments in our lives where we crave for something more than we crave for God. That is sinful. That is like worshiping a golden calf. You know, I want to share something from my own life, what had happened in the last 5 to 6 months. Most of us know that Anand works in a newspaper, and it's been our desire to spend more time with New City, this church plant. So we prayed, we fasted, we you know, we talked about it, and we decided that we'll take a faith call, you know, that needs more faith. And so we decided that he will work just 2 days a week in his newspaper. So he goes to his boss, and boss agrees to that eventually, but verbally. And there was a period of, you know, 5 to 6 months of waiting for this to actually happen in a paper. And that, to me, was a challenging period in our lives, especially for me. There were times I was so anxious, and my prayers were like this: God, I am making a faith call here. I am stepping, you know, I'm getting into something which I'm not comfortable, but I'm doing so. And why are you not answering? Why are you just keeping quiet? Why are you not doing anything about it? These were the kind of words that were coming out of my mouth. This challenged me in my trust, in my faith in God. So is that 2 day week a good thing? Of course, it is a good thing. You know, I get to spend more time, more dates with him, and you guys get to, you know, spend more time, and the church is growing, so it needs more time. It's a good thing. But why was my heart so anxious? Why was my mind was so anxious and was frozen to this? And why was my eyes and ears were weary to see this happen? And why was my heart so despair and longing to see this happen? So through this waiting of 5 months, God was just revealing to me to what and whom I was actually worshiping in a layer by layer. So that 5 to 6 months was a good time for me to check my own heart, because God was doing business with me. It was tough, but it was good. You know, God revealed to me the sin of pride in me. God revealed to me the sin of worshiping New City more than I worship God. God revealed to me my sin of worshiping my husband more than I worship God. And finally, God revealed to me my utter sinful nature of worshiping myself more than I worship God. It was just one desire, and it was definitely God-pleasing desire. But can you see the layers of sin pattern that is underneath that those desires? Friends, I want to ask us this question: what are you anxious about, or what are we anxious about? You know, what do we despair about? What are our eyes and ears longing to see? That's what actually we are worshiping. We have already replaced our object of worship from Creator to the created things. The jealousy of God flows from the compassion and mercy of God. That's my first point. The second thing I want to draw from this passage is this: the jealousy of God is for His glory and for our protection. Let's look at verse 10 and 12. Verse 10. This is what the Lord is saying: I'm making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. And the verse 12, be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be snared among you. There are two things that's happening here. Firstly, God is making a covenant with the people that that He will do wonders before all the people, and the others will see those wonders and be awe of the Lord. So He's making a covenant that He's going to do wonders. He's going to do miracles. Secondly, God is warning the Israelites not to make any kind of pact with those people, because it will trap us. Let's break this down. Where do we spend most productive part of our day? In office, for some of us? For some of us, it would be a college. For some of us, it could be home with neighbors, right? So God is saying, I am going to display my glory, I'm going to display my miracle among the people we live. Secondly, God is warning, do not make any kind of pact with the other people. Does it ring a bell? This sounds familiar for us. In John 17, we see Jesus saying this, be in the world, but not be of it. Why? We live in a city that has enough things that would entice us every single day, every single moment. Whether it's a music industry, whether it is film industry, whether it is food industry, or it's our own workplace, our relationship, our children, not many of us, but you know, I do have children. Okay, so you know, every single thing I mentioned right now, it's all a good thing. It's a good thing. But somehow we have this special talent of making this thing into the ultimate thing of our lives. Every day we turn our devotions away from God to other things. Whether we are followers of Christ or not, we all struggle with the same thing at some point in our lives. Are these bad things? Are these bad things? Certainly not. Some of you must be wondering now, hey, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong being enticed by my career? I'm being ambitious. What's wrong being enticed by my relationship or the pursuit of my happiness? You know, what's wrong? I just want to say, you know, give me a moment till I read a passage from the Bible for the answer. Okay, so the answer in this book called Deuteronomy. This is also from the Old Testament. That's my love for Old Testament. From chapter 26, verse 64 to 66. Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, God of woods and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. Among these nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both day and night, never sure of your life. God does not want us to be restless with anxious mind, eyes that are longing, and a heart that's despairing. He doesn't want us to live in suspense. He wants us to live in certainty that He is God. But this is the consequences of going away from God. God's jealousness is for our protection, to save us from all the anxiety and despair. This jealousy is flowing from His mercy and compassion. Whether we are followers of Christ or not, whether we believe in God or not, we all worship something. My question is, what do we worship? That which we are meditating on most of the time has already become our object of our worship. So we can say that His jealousy is for His glory and for our protection. And the final thing and the third thing I want to draw from this passage is that God's jealousy is redemptive. His jealousy is redemptive. We saw how Israel as a nation sinned and how God was angry with them, but His anger did not last forever. We see God asking Moses to bring another stone tablets again. God Himself wrote the law for Israel. Moses, who was the best mediator between God and Israelites, did not ask for the restoration of the tablets. It was God who made the restoration of the tablets. That's how he fiercely loves us. You know, I would like to spend a few moments here. God gave Israel the law, but Israel was unfaithful. They built and worshipped a golden calf, and God was furious that he wanted to destroy all of them. Moses pleaded with God on behalf of the Israelites, but Moses was also angry with Israelites. He threw and broke the stone tablet. Yes, God was angry, but it was Moses who decides that unfaithful Israel doesn't deserve God's law when he throws and breaks the tablet. Later, God takes the initiative and gives them the law or the Ten Commandments again on another set of tablets of stone. You know, God could have abandoned Israel for the first time around. If he has done that, Israel could have perished without law. I want us to imagine, you know, imagine India or any other nation without any law. Like, you can't rob, you can't kill, you can't abuse, you can't rape, you can't, you know, drink and drive. Imagine a country that has no law. What would have been the country looked like? You know, every nation needs law. If God's compassion that has made him give the Ten Commandments a second time, but this time, God gave Israel an additional revelation among the Ten Commandments. He gave additional revelation along with the Ten Commandments. I am a jealous God. That was the additional revelation he gave to Israelites. God wants Israel to know that he is jealous about his relationship with them. God wants us to know he is jealous about his relationship with us. It's in his compassion and in his jealousy for his relationship with his people that God gives them the law for the second time. Therefore, we could say that the law was given to Israel out of compassion and jealousy. But the law did not redeem Israel, because it was only meant to point to the one who would redeem Israel and all of us, Jesus Christ. No one was able to meet all the requirements of the law except Christ Jesus, who was the only man to fulfill all the requirements of the law. And this is what Jesus himself declared. In Matthew, it's a New Testament, chapter 5 and 17, and Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus fulfilled all the law, but did not get the blessing he deserved. On the contrary, he got the punishment we all deserve for breaking the law. You see, the law was given through compassion and jealousy of God is actually pointing to redemption, to Christ. It is a law that makes us aware of our sin. So when we are aware of our sin, where do we run? We need a savior. We need cross. We need Jesus Christ. That is why I'm saying the jealousy of God is redemptive. Under the law, God calls Israel my people, my nation, not even children, just people. I will be their God. This is what God's saying. I will be their God and they will be my people. But in Christ, God calls us the church, the bride. That's the intimacy. That's the intimacy that he's talking about. So if under the law, God was jealous for his people, how much more under the grace Christ will be jealous for his bride, for us? God is so jealous for us, for our relationship with him, that he did not withhold anything, not even his own son. And he sent him, he just gave him up on the cross because he is jealous for us. He is jealous for our relationship with him. Thank you.